So the
Can I,
two, yeah.
can I be NDP and a liberal or a conservative at the same time, or it
Yeah.
has to be? So they have
Oh yeah,
overlapping.
they have overlap,
Okay.
absolutely.
And then the green and another
So
one.
green is very small. Green is
Okay.
very, very small, but it is a real federal party, and
Right.
they are very left.
Oh, I
Very far
see.
left.
Okay.
And they are very collectivist,
Right.
very very socialist, very like protect the environment, like free child care, excuse student loans, make university free, a very lots of social support.
So those are two out of five. And what are the third one?
So there's the Conservative Party
Right.
and the Liberal Party. Those are
Right.
our two biggest ones. Then in the left, we have the NDP and the Green. And then on the right, very far into the Conservatives, we
Right.
have the PPC, which is the People's Party of Canada. And they are very nationalist. You laugh. Do you know who they
Okay.
are?
No, I actually don't know, but like I thought the name kind of speak itself, right? Like I mean, I might be wrong, but it sounds like they put the people first, so.
They argue that they do. Yeah. They believe that Canada is too globalized.
Oh, too globalized. Okay.
So they believe in reducing immigration. That's probably their biggest thing, is reducing immigration, as well as reducing social supports. They got a lot of support during the COVID pandemic because they wanted to not make vaccines mandatory. They wanted to. They don't think that people should be homosexuals or that it should be legal. So, lots of conservative things of like the government should not be making things legal or illegal. Don't force us to take vaccines. Don't
Right.
force us to approve of gay marriage. Don't make us do anything other than just be Canadians. Close the
Okay.
borders, let us be just Canadians, just focus on us nationally, like as the
Right.
Canadian identity. That's the
So I
PPC.
understand these are the rights that they
Yes.
ask for. Then what are the responsibilities they think they should carry as, you know, one part of the nation?
Protecting Canadian culture and identity as some. I have difficulty explaining it in a
They are
positive way.
okay. Yeah, you can just share. I mean, of course, we don't have to attack the person or the parties, but like, I understand it's really hard for us to say, "Hey, I completely against this kind of idea because I don't think it make any sense or it's just completely BS, right?" I mean, we don't have to put in kind of language and be that kind of sharp, but I do wanted to kind of get your honest opinion towards to, like what do they support? Like, cause if you think okay, we should protect ourselves, we should close down, just like what let's say Trump supports, right? And I understand it probably fits the benefits of themselves, and that kind of makes sense. But there's a kind of exchange that you have to make, right? If you wanted to be in Canada, let's say, you cannot be the only one who's in Canada, right? Like, what do they think the whole society and the government or the nation should do to be like able to offer this kind of platform and environment to individuals?
That's a really good question. I don't want to speak too much on like I didn't get really far into their platform,
Right.
but what I do know is that one of their primary selling points, I guess, is that if we decrease immigration and decrease the amount of immigrants that are not, have not become citizens already, so like throw out the permanent residents and stuff like that, and people on work visas and so on. The social spending that we do have will then protect Canadians first. So the jobs that we have here and the money that is spent on healthcare and so on, it will go to the Canadians and will not be spent on new people coming in.
Right. So who offers those kind of labors?
That's a great question, Charlotte.
Yeah, that's. I'm trying to dig deeper about what sounds controversial or like a little bit hard to understand, right? Because like, yeah, I understand that this is the needs. Like, give me money, give me resource, give me opportunities. I am myself, which is a good idea to a lot of women to think ourselves is the most important individual in our lives. But we're not the only one. So it's kind of like you mentioned a lot about the ecosystem, where seems like this word exists is because the human beings are I mean, like, there's a different kind of concept of how do you take yourself and others as individual, but human beings in nature is not some kind of, let's say, panda that you leave by yourself in your own territory. There is the reason why we have cities and urbans is because we kind of have to rely on the whole society to thrive. And so we don't have to go out in the forest and fight with that tiger. So I think that is probably where the ecosystem that we come from. And there's a reason why we do have a lot of right reason to make the society a society.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I in my personal view, I think that we form a society for a reason.
Right.
Human beings want to cooperate.
Right.
And instead of competing all the time for competing for resources and, you know, starving in the street and so on, we formed a government that represents us, that we trust. We have neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We live next to people that we trust. We, you know, pay taxes because we want the firefighters to put out the fire on our house if it catches on fire, right? And we want to cooperate because it's easier to live in a society.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. However, I do understand there's sometimes we need to put a boundary or like a standard.
Oh, yeah.
A bottom line to see, hey, this is not completely welcomed. Everybody coming in because people who make the effort and contribute to this society and nation definitely have the right to enjoy the resources and opportunity first.
Yeah.
So I wonder, how do they in Canada, those different ideas and parties and concepts all live together, and what are the percentage of each other? Not necessarily accurately, but which part is the major one now?
Yeah, I mean, right now, that's a really good question, because we in 2016, Canada elected Justin Trudeau. Who was a liberal leader.
Right.
He got a minority government, but with very much support, and then he got a majority government. He was loved. He was a very, bringing change sort of.
Like what kind of change?
He wanted to do electoral reform.
What is that?
It means the process through which citizens elect, so like the voting process and how do the votes get counted and so on, and how many people are there to vote for and so on.
Right.
He wanted to reform it. We had a conservative government. His name was Stephen Harper for a very long time. I think 8 years or 12 years or something like that.
Right.
People were very tired of him. They were exhausted with having him.
Because
he had, he was in office for 9 years. He had ongoing issues with, from what I understand, ongoing issues with lobbying. So because the conservatives are very for the freedom of business, freedom of flow of the market, that the market doesn't have to be controlled and so on.
Like completely?
It depends on how far right you go. But yeah.
Okay.
But Harper started, in some people's opinion, overly supporting monopoly government, monopoly corporations, or giving too many tax breaks to companies that were exploiting Canadian resources.
Okay.
Making a huge issue as well was environmental regulation. Mm. So he was reducing the environmental regulations for oil extracting companies and so on, and other things just in general, that the conservative government was in power for a really long time. So there were issues about other civil liberties as well.
Right. So later on, it changed to...
So it changed. So people were really excited for a change. They were very excited for Justin Trudeau. So he came and we had him for a long time. We had him from 2016 to 2025, to last year.
Okay.
So he was good for the first few years. Generally, people felt, Canadians felt happy about him. And then in over the COVID pandemic, people were dissatisfied with the way that the federal Liberal government was handling lockdowns and vaccine rollouts and so on.
How did they handle it? Which part, or do you know why people don't like
it? I mean, one of the biggest things was mandatory vaccines.
Okay, so yeah. Mandatory means like you have to get it, right? So
it wasn't forced. Like, they wouldn't knock on your door and tell you to get a vaccine.
Right.
It was not like that. But it was like, if you wanted to go into work, your workplace could demand that you are vaccinated in order to keep your job.
Right,
and if you said, I did not want the vaccine, you could lose your job.
Okay.
Or then it was giving provinces the power to say, to make these like vaccine passports. So it was on your phone.
Yeah.
And you would show, like, if you're going into a restaurant
and
you're not having your mask on in the restaurant, you show like your vaccination card that you've been vaccinated, and then you can go into the restaurant. And so the provinces were given that power.
So I guess that kind of, I would say, regulations are kind of pretty much fit the liberals' concept, right?
Absolutely.
That you need to sort of have some kind of controlled or follow some kind of policies or regulations to be able to maintain the safety to some level to other people.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So people don't like that.
People did not like that, especially because one of the largest issues that ended up being one of the little like, I guess, story time is that one of the issues was that the borders between the U.S. and Canada were very strictly and like flying in and out of Canada were very strictly monitored for if you were vaccinated for COVID or not.
Right.
And that was a big issue in Canada for truckers. So in continental North America, we don't have a lot of trains.
Right.
We have trucks.
Yes.
So we have those giant boxes on trucks that are being like, you can go from like one corner of the United States to the other corner of Canada, and you're delivering anything from literally whatever.
So why are they against this idea? Or
because truckers that were doing this for work, that had to be constantly crossing the border, if they did not want the vaccine, they were not allowed to cross the border into other countries.
Yeah.
And that also caused a lot of problems for the transport of goods across Canada as well.
I understand. So as you presented those facts, that happened in the past. And it's definitely not just a concept, or it's not a personal opinion. This is something
this
that
is
happened.
Yes.
And I wonder if they collect the data or did any survey or research to find out why those truck drivers do not want to get the vaccine.
I don't know. I don't know. There was a big...
Is there any protests or some people make videos say, hey, I don't want to get it because...
I don't know about because. I think it was more just like the freedom of being able to not choose a vaccine.
Right.
Skepticism of the vaccine. Like, they don't know if it's safe. Or they just want to be able to control their own body. And if they think, like, I don't think I'm going to get sick with COVID, so I don't want the vaccine. And then they're told, if you want to keep your job, you have to take the vaccine.
Right.
I think, you know, people were thinking that it was a violation of freedom.
Yeah.
And there was a whole discussion about, like, you know, to protect other people, right? To make sure that you don't get other people sick, you need to take the vaccine. And a lot of people had issues with that because they were like, why is it my problem?
Yeah, but then if those people are required to take mixed vaccine in Canada, why it bothers for them to, you know, cross the border if it's they're trying to go to the U.S. Is that the something that the government say, hey, you have to get the vaccine, otherwise you cannot go to the U.S.? But is that something that's supposed to be required by U.S. government?
I don't know about for the U.S., but for Canada, it wasn't that you... it was a lot easier to travel with the vaccine, and in a lot of places you needed the vaccine.
Right.
And if you didn't have it, I'm pretty sure even if you had it, actually, you had to provide a test that it not like an instant test either, like it had to be one of those like proper lab tests of that you are negative for COVID, and
right.
you had to have it taken a few days before, and you had to have the results ready to present to the border officer. And those tests are also expensive. Back then in 2020 and 2021, they were expensive. And so truckers that are constantly crossing the border, they have to constantly be having these tests done
right.
for them to be able to cross the border, or they need the vaccine to make it easier to cross as well. And so it was just it for someone that didn't want it, and it was annoying for them because they didn't feel the need to participate in the fear of the pandemic, then they didn't want to participate, and they were being told that they had to.
Right.
So there was this huge protest where a bunch of truckers did what's called the Freedom Convoy. And they had thousands of trucks that drove across Canada and drove into Ottawa in front of the Parliament and just occupied the streets of Ottawa. These giant trucks, giant shipping trucks, occupying thousands of them, occupying all the streets of Ottawa, protesting to Justin Trudeau that why do they need the vaccine? The vaccine is unfair, and so on.
So until 2025, that was all what happened, and people started to be unhappy about this government. And then now, what about 2026? Is there anything changed?
Yeah, I mean, so we still have the Liberal government. Justin Trudeau stepped down in 2025, and so we have Prime Minister Mark Carney. It's the Liberal government.
Right, it's still the Liberal government.
It's still the Liberal government.
Did it change to a different party or a different representative, I guess?
Different representative. I'm going to hang up on my phone. He did take over Justin Trudeau, and then a few months later there was the federal election, and the Liberal Party won again. So now he was officially elected, and Canadian opinions on politics right now are very complicated. You know, there is no longer that big support for one party like there was back in 2016 when we elected Justin Trudeau. Now it's people are very, like, especially by the region, very split on we like conservatives, we prefer liberals, the NDP is going to save us, we should vote for more Green Party because what is happening with the oil extraction in Canada and so on and so forth. So there is really no big one party that people love the most anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's very mixed between a lot of things, especially post-COVID, because people are seeing that different things are the most important. So some people think, you know, climate change is the most important thing. Why right. are we not focusing more on it? We should talk right. about that more. Or immigration is huge as right. well. So.
Yeah, so I'm still a newlander here in Vancouver. And what I feel is that Vancouver is such a diverse place, or it has this diverse environment where people come from all over the world and can still live here. And people are very polite and well-mannered, no matter where you come from. Of course, not everybody, but generally speaking, it is a really good advertisement. But I wanted to say it is good because I genuinely feel that way. I don't know about like the whole holistic, like the Canada as a nation, and what is the biggest voice they have for China? Like, do more people support the relationship, the peaceful relationship or collaborative relationship with China, or people think we should close down and they're kind of like mysterious enemy, or you know, they could think China as panda, or they could think China as a dragon. And I know right. dragon is not definitely the best kind of concept in the West, because dragon has very different kind of image in China, but like I think that is very different, like panda mm-hmm. versus dragon, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think?
It depends on the person, it depends on their ideology, it also very much depends on the region. North America has a wonderful, very diverse media landscape.
North America or Canada?
North America.
The media?
Diverse media. But unfortunately, a lot of money will be spent on very specific types of media.
Right.
So there are media outlets in the United States that get a lot of money. So they have very popular shows and they are put on all TVs everywhere and very easy to access because they are so well funded.
Right.
And their opinions end up speaking to a lot of Americans. In Canada, very similar. I mean, we have less corporate buyout of media stations, but still, like, the media stations that we have, the biggest ones that are well funded are the ones that everyone has the most access to, and a lot of those opinions become, like, if you watch that news, if that's where you get your news about the world, that's where you're going to get your opinions on China. That's where you're going to get your opinions on everything else.
Right. But what about from your personal life? Do you talk to people, right? I know that's a very small sample base, but like, do you think people would see China as more as like cute panda or as an evil dragon?
No, it's not evil. It's not evil dragon. No, I think
because I think the media could talk like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the point, is that the media talks like that, and it's what people get their exposure to. But I mean, the people that I personally speak to,
right.
and, you know, being in a university environment and so on, I don't think anyone really sees China as an evil, horrible country. I think, you know, I exist in an educated space, or like around people that do business, and right. they recognize that China is a very powerful country, very powerful country. And also we depend on Chinese trade negotiations. And I mean, what would the globalized world be without China as a huge participator in global trade as well? And then politically, it's just another country. I mean, every country has its own priorities and right. own needs. I think, I mean, the people that I know respect China's power politically and economically and so on. I don't know anyone who really thinks that China is evil. But I don't think anyone in the world thinks that China is a panda.
That's really funny, because first of all, I definitely also watch a lot of news, especially from the West. It seems like at least the government people would think China could be dangerous and evil, right? And as you said, say like they think it's powerful, but we don't know that culture or civilization as much. So that kind of give us this uncertainty and unknown feeling. So yeah. I understand that. But from Chinese point of view, I think we do see ourselves as a panda. A lot of times that's why it's very interesting. Probably I will discuss this more with even more people about like, do you think China is more like a panda or dragon?
Yeah. It's a good question. Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Yeah, I mean like recently I watched a lot of panda videos, like nice. clips. I did not get why everybody think panda is so cute. First of all, I come from Chengdu, where like that is exactly where one of the hometowns of pandas, right? Nice. We have like so many pandas. It's not like I have a panda and a ride panda to yeah. school, but like yeah, yeah. But I was like, every time I went to the zoo, and I was like, oh my god, they're so lazy, and I don't get it. Yeah. And now I watch all those clips that I get it, because one thing that I realized is probably because, well, first of all, they are lazy, but might because I was very lazy. So I went there late in the day, and they've already resting, already went to rest, right? So, when I watch those clips, I realized that they're so funny. They're just like doing a lot of really stupid things. However, they're so choppy, and their babies are so cute, and they are kind of human-like personalities. They really care about their, I would say they're human daddy and mommies.
Yeah.
So that's so cute. And I think that's one thing that China probably thought how they are in the world, which that's why a lot of Chinese people don't understand. It's like, why people think we're just evil, or maybe they don't think they're evil, but then why people think us like that? Because they think they're pandas.
Yeah, that's so fair. Yeah.
But I would say when I watch some wild pandas, like, it's totally different kind of picture, and they are very powerful. Like they eat bamboos as well, but they have this strong concept of owning their own territory, and they're much bigger because they have to be able to fight to survive and protect their own territory. But I don't see any panda really invade other territory. I don't know that, but then I see why. It could be also a powerful image, mm-hmm. and combining with the cuteness. Mm-hmm. But I personally love the idea of, like, if you see us as a panda, I would be like really happy. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't think anyone in the West is thinking that China is a silly, sleepy, small country. No, it's, if anything, it would be a wild panda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was really interesting conversation. So I think today you helped me and a lot of other people, especially our Chinese audiences from our live streaming platform, understanding how those complex politics views and their parties or people's opinions towards to each one, like which one they support and why they support that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. I hope we could talk more in the future and to understand more about how Canada sees themselves individually, holistically, and how Canada see Chinese and or China, and how Chinese people see Canadians. And we will find a lot of different ideas from one group of people even, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it so, I think it's so interesting and impressive.
Let's do it sometime. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, I really appreciate it. So I heard that you are going to open your show, and do you want to give a quick intro about that?
I'm working on a show. I don't have it permanently yet, but it is for in Vancouver time. It is Saturdays from 9 to 10 p.m. There is no topic yet, but basically I talk to other Canadian students, and or just doesn't even have to be students, and we talk about life, something that is important to us, and then why does it matter. So today I was actually recording my episode for Saturday, and I was talking to my friend Matt, who just started a jazz show, and we were talking about fashion and why does it matter how we present ourselves.
Okay.
And then jazz, why he likes jazz.
That's awesome. Okay. That way, thank you so much for tuning in. And our show is on live every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. PST, Vancouver time. And I will talk to you next week.